Welcome to the Wordy Girl Entertainment Podcast. I am your writer-in-chief, Rosalind Jackson. I am a lover of words, and that love led me to a passion for writing. And what's the next best thing to writing? Talking about writing. So kick back and join me for mind-blowing chats about writing, covering everything from screenplays to novels to poetry, from nonfiction books to songwriting, and much more. Thank you for tuning in for my Screaming at the Screen series. This is where I recap TV shows and movies and share my opinions along with the crazy things I scream at the screen. Today I'm going to be reviewing Queen Sugar. This is the first time that I've reviewed Queen Sugar. The season is already up and running and I'm reviewing episode 304. I'm not going to review the earlier episodes because that's going to take too long, and I just want to jump in and get started with a regular schedule of reviewing TV shows and movies. So today's episode is it's Queen Sugar, Season 3, Episode 304, No Haven in My Shadow. In this episode, the family is preparing for a commemoration for their father. They're also celebrating Blue's birthday. He didn't want to have a regular birthday party because of the bad memories it caused when his grandfather, Ernest, got sick on his birthday last year and then ended up dying. So Blue doesn't want a regular birthday party. He wants to celebrate his grandfather, and they're going to have a bonfire, and they're supposed to write messages to Ernest and put the messages in the fire, and the messages will go up to heaven to Ernest. So that's the main storyline of the episode. Now, Darla is back. She goes over to visit Blue at Ralph Angel's house, and they all sit around in the living room having family time. And you can feel the tension in the room. Ralph Angel is all in his feelings. He's still mad at Darla, but you can tell deep down he still loves her. And they're trying to be calm, cool, and collected in front of Blue, but kids can tell when something's wrong. And, you know, they may not be able to articulate it, but they know. So Darla sends Blue off to go get some crayons so he can color. And that's when she and Ralph Angel have a little talk. And Darla tells him that she's back for good because she wants to be in her son's life. And she asks Ralph Angel if she can take Blue on this upcoming school field trip. But Ralph Angel is still being guarded, and he tells her that he's the one that's going to be taking Blue on the trip. And he also tells Darla that he doesn't think this is going to work with her being back, but she's prepared to do whatever it takes to make it work. You know, I think after Ralph Angel is all finished being hurt and angry, he's going to forgive Darla eventually, and they're going to get back together. Just watch. Watch. I like them together. I know they have their issues and everything, but it seems like Darla realized her crazy life, that drug life she was in, and she no longer wants any part of it. I think she is done with that life and ready to be a mother to Blue and be a wife to Ralph Angel. They end up having a family dinner together at a restaurant. And like I said, see, they're already inching towards getting back together. And, you know, Darla realizes that she messed up royally by not telling Ralph Angel earlier that Blue might not be his. But in her defense, she was on drugs back then and wasn't thinking with a clear head. Now with Charlie meets up with the woman who's been investigating the Landrys for her. And she's trying to find some dirt on them that she can use against them. But the lady that's doing the investigating, she only finds stuff that's scandalous as far as their personal lives. Like, you know, one of the Landry brothers or cousins has a prostitute on the side or a mistress on the side, things like that. But Charlie is like, that's not good enough. Nobody cares about that kind of crap. She wants some real dirt on them in regards to their business, something legal that she can take them down for. Later on, Aunt Vi asks Charlie to take Mr. Prosper to the doctor because she can't do it because she's all, you know, trying to get her pies cooked. And Nova can't do it because she is running around getting all the supplies they need for the bonfire for Ernest. So Charlie ends up taking him. And when she gets to his house, he's not ready because he can't find the medical records that he needs to take with him. But basically, he's just stalling because he really doesn't want to go to the doctor. So she takes a moment and sits with him, and they reminisce about the old times when Ernest was alive. And Mr. Proper speaks very fondly about Ernest, you know, how close they were and how good of a friend Ernest was to him. And I'm like, something's not right here. I was picking up on the vibes, and Charlie was kind of picking up on some vibes. And I'm like, was Ernest and Mr. Prosper lovers? I kind of think they were. So maybe I'm reading that wrong, but nah, I'm like, something's going on here. They end up canceling the appointment because he can't find his medical records. So she shows up the next day to take him, and they're on their way to the car, and he says he forgot his jacket. He was going to go back and get it, but Charlie's like, no, 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 I'll get it. You get in the car, and I'll grab the jacket for you. So she goes back in the house to grab the jacket, and she sees a picture of Ernest and Mr. Prosper when they were younger. It was a picture of them out on the field, on the farm. And then she also finds an eviction notice on his table. Apparently he's being evicted from the farm, and she thought that he owned that farm, but come to find out that he's been leasing it for decades from the Landrys, and they're the ones that are throwing him off, you know, well, evicting him from the farm. So they get to the doctor's office, and they call Mr. Prosper in to the back, and guess who the person is that calls him into the back? It's the dude that Charlie met on the street when her car wouldn't start. He's the one that helped her get it running, and then he asked her out on a date, and they exchanged numbers, and they were supposed to hook up, but they never did. So Charlie is a little bit embarrassed when she walks up to him. She's like, oh, I know I was supposed to call you. I haven't called you. I'm so, so sorry. But, you know, things are hectic with me, and I have a lot going on. So he's very understanding about it. He's like, no problem, no problem. I know things happen in life. We all get busy, yada, yada, yada. And he's like, when you find the time, call me and we can go hang out. I know some good places to eat, and we can chop it up and get to know each other. And she's like, I'll do that. So after that, Charlie confronts Jacob about kicking Mr. Prosper and the other farmers off the land. She wants to know, why is he doing this? And he said, there's a good reason. And Charlie's like, I don't believe you. What could be a good reason for kicking people off of their land? And he tells her that the last couple of hurricanes that they had caused a runoff from some other mill, I believe, and it ran into the soil on the farms. And it caused a mercury contamination. And so the EPA has to evict the people from the land so they can do testing. And Jacob's all like, don't worry about it. Well, you know, we're gonna recover from that financially. And Charlie was like, don't nobody give a damn about the money. What about the people? We care about what happens to them. But she has to put that anger aside and figure out a way to help Jacob with this situation because she now owns 1% stake in the Landry's company, and that makes her a part of the situation. So she's got to jump in there and help figure this out. Now with Aunt Vi, she's up to her elbows in pies. Miss Effie, the woman who let her use the kitchen at the church, she comes in and tells her that it's time for her to wrap it up because some Wednesday night supper club is due, is supposed to be there right now, and she needs to hurry up and get out of there. And Aunt Vi's like, wait a minute. You told me that I can use the place on Wednesdays. I'm here from 8 to 5. Look at the calendar. It's up there. And so I don't understand. And Miss Effie is being all rude and bitchy. And she's like, well, I don't know what you're going to do. But the supper club has been meeting here forever. There must be some kind of misunderstanding. But you're going to have to do whatever you got to do to wrap it up. And Effie had the nerve to try to shame Aunt Vi by saying the supper club people are good church-going people, you know, as opposed to Aunt Vi's not, because she's I don't think she's a regular member of that church. But Aunt Vi has been giving the church 10% of her earnings for using the kitchen. And Aunt Vi's like, y'all been cashing my checks. I bet, okay, the checks have been clearing. There's no problem there. And then Miss Effie going to have the nerve to say, I'm sure the good Lord appreciates that. I'm like, girl, bye. What kind of Christian behavior is that? Okay. So later on, Aunt Vi goes out to deliver her pies. Hollywood is with her and he's helping her. And he tells her that he wants to buy her a delivery truck because that little van or car that she has that she's been delivering the pies in is not working. She has to shove the pies in there and they end up getting damaged and she can't sell them. So it's basically making her lose money. But she doesn't want him to help her because she doesn't want to owe anything to anybody. She tells him that her ex-husband owned the house that they lived in, and he held that over her head, and she didn't like that. That made her feel weak and small. And Hollywood says, "I'm not your ex-husband. I'm Hollywood." But Vi feels like if she takes that help from Hollywood, it's going to take away her independence. And I get that, but Hollywood is a good man and he really wants the best for Vi. And, you know, I think she should take him up on this offer because she can't do it all by herself. She's one woman. She has one person working with her, but it's still very demanding. And plus her lupus is acting up, even though she's trying to hide it. She's been having little episodes where she has to stop for a minute and catch her balance. Like maybe she's going to faint or something, or maybe she's in pain. She keeps rubbing her hands, things like that, but she's hiding it from everybody. But I'm like, Aunt Vi, you need to slow down and take some help from your man because he is genuinely trying to help you because he loves you. Now on to Miss Nova. Miss Nova is working on her book. She's trying to brainstorm ideas, but she's still not sure what to write about. Later on, she stops by the family farm to drop off some supplies for the bonfire, and she finds Remy there helping out. And they chop it up and laugh and talk a bit, and I'm getting a feeling about them too. I'm like, what's going on between them? I kind of noticed that towards the end of last season. And I was like, they seem like they kind of feeling each other. But I thought that maybe they were just being friendly and, you know, just getting closer to each other. But I'm like, no, it's a little something. Something going up there and going on there. And later on, they meet up again because Remy is back at the farm. He has this group of students that he's showing the farm to and teaching them about farming and whatnot. And Nova comes out and he introduces them to Nova and lets them know that she is part owner of this farm. And she speaks to them a little bit and asks them what they want to do, if they're really interested in being farmers. And they're like, yeah, yeah. And so she gives them a little bit of encouragement. And Remy likes that. So, you know, he looks at her, she looks at him, and they're all kind of like smiling and grinning at each other. I was like, I see y'all. I see y'all. And that's going to cause some friction between her and Charlie. Charlie is going to go off. Okay. But, you know, Charlie and Remy, they didn't match personality-wise. He wants a nice, wholesome woman who's going to be more traditional. And that's not Charlie. Charlie is the quintessential businesswoman. But, you know, oddly enough, Nova isn't the traditional type either. Because, you know, she got her little ways and things that she's into. But she has that down-to-earth country girl quality about her, and I think Remy is attracted to that. He's about community and family, and she's also about community, especially the Black community and family, and they match up better than Remy and Charlie. So Micah, poor little Micah, he and his dad are hanging out at the arcade, and they're having a good time and playing video games. But all of a sudden, Davis gets this call, and he's like acting kind of weird and stuff. And he walks off and takes that phone call. And later on, when he gets in the car with Micah, he starts reminiscing about Ernest and saying that Ernest was such a good man, and he was the father that he never had. And he's just going on and on and on about it. And then Micah senses something. He's like, Dad, what's wrong? Just, you know, what's on your mind? And Davis tells him that Micah has a little sister. And Micah's like, a sister? What? What are you talking about? And he basically tells him that he had another baby outside of the marriage with Charlie. And Micah's like, well, how old is this baby? And Davis tells him that the girl is 13 years old. So she's just a few years younger than Micah. And Micah is like, does mom know? Nope, she does not know. Davis has not told her either. And you know, Charlie is going to go the fuck off, okay? And I don't blame her. Davis is so trifling. Like he tried to act like he was a changed man after that scandal with the hookers in the room, with him and his players on the team, on the basketball team that he was on. And after all that happened, he tried to act like he was a changed man and he wasn't going to do that anymore. But all along, he still got this baby, this child he never told Charlie about. And I'm like, he is so trifling. I can't stand him. He's like, oh, he's the quintessential fuckboy. That's what Davis is. So that's what's going on with all of the characters. And that brings us to the bonfire at the end of the episode where everybody comes together. And so they're all there with their messages, and they gather around and tell stories about Ernest and how much they loved him. And one by one, they go up and put their messages in the bonfire. Through voiceover, we hear what they wrote in their letters. Although they don't speak it, you know, it's something personal between them and Ernest, and they just put the message in the bonfire, but we get to hear what they wrote through their own voiceovers. Micah walks up and he says that he tells Ernest that he wishes he had more time with him. And then we flash forward to where he's watching a video of Davis and Charlie and Micah. They're all somewhere like on a red carpet or somewhere, and a reporter is asking Davis about family, and he's talking about, oh, I love my family, and you know, they mean so much to me, blah 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 blah. And Micah is looking at it like, bullshit. Next up we have Nova. And she tells Ernest that his story will live on. Basically, she's saying his legacy will live on through her and her writing about him. So this inspires her with her ideas for her book. And we fast forward to her at her computer. She's brainstorming more ideas. They're coming to her, and she is pretty much on the road to knowing what she needs to write for this book. We learn that Vi thanked Ernest for always taking care of her, and she agrees to let him buy the delivery truck for her. And I'm just like, oh, thank God, because she needs the help, and he wants to help her. He wants to be there for her, and I think that's such an endearing thing for them. Next person up is Ralph Angel, and he thanks his father and his mother, who's also deceased, for raising him. And that fast forwards him to a scene where he is filling out the permission slip for the field trip for Blue, and where we see Ralph Angel's name as the person that's going to be taking him. He crosses it out and puts Darla's name in there. So he's going to let Darla take Blue on that trip because he knows that it's important for Darla to be in Blue's life as well as him as a father. He knows that Blue needs a father and a mother to be a complete and happy child. And the last person to go up is Charlie. Charlie takes a look at Mr. Prosper, and Mr. Prosper is staring into the bonfire and looking very hurt. And Charlie tells Ernest, I'll take care of him. And the him she's talking about is Mr. Prosper, because Charlie knows they were lovers. That's the end of the episode. I really enjoyed this episode because it was all about, it was about secrets. It was about family and forgiveness and coming together, putting aside differences and coming together for the sake of love. And I really enjoyed it. It felt very comforting to me. So that's it for the episode. One thing I'm going to be pointing out in each review that I do is my favorite line of dialogue. And I want to showcase my favorite line of dialogue because I'm a writer, and one of my favorite things to write is dialogue. So my favorite line in this episode is when Nova tells Aunt Vi that she has writer's block with her book. And Aunt Vi says, girl, black folks ain't got no time for writer's block. Too much to say and not enough time to say it. And I'm like, I know that's right, Aunt Vi. That line hit home for me because I am a writer and I do experience writer's block. More so, I have procrastination. I don't necessarily experience writer's block because I always have ideas. But putting my butt in a chair and getting those ideas out of my head, that is the problem. So that really spoke to me and let me know, you know, stop wasting time, girl. Get your stuff written and get it finished. Put it out in the world. We ain't got time. So that brings us to a close for Queen Sugar. And thank you for listening.
Thanks for taking the time to tune in to the Wordy Girl Entertainment Podcast. Don't forget to check out my blog at www.wordygirlent.com. That's WordyGirlEnt.com. You can also find me on Instagram and Twitter at WordyGirlEnt and on Facebook at www.facebook.com/WordyGirlEnt. And always remember, it all begins with a single word. So what are you waiting for? Go write.